Praise and thanks be unto the Lord, that we may realize His love, that it is always new, and that we time and again can praise His love and His grace anew. I would like to read a psalm word before we pray. Let us stand up for it. From Psalms 95, here this psalm writer says, O come, and let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, and He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the sheep of His hand. Today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, It is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Unto whom I swear in my wrath, that they should not enter into my rest. Faithful God, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts, that we may be your people, your elect, whom you redeemed, whom you purchased, whom you have chosen to be your possession. We are so grateful that we may make a joyful noise unto you, that we come into your presence with thanksgiving, praising your holy name. For you are a great God. This we acknowledge, Lord. You made the heaven, and also the sea, and all that is here was made by your hands. Also we are your work, Lord. We want to praise you, Lord. If already the whole creation praises you, how should we not praise you, honoring your holy name, and worship you? Lord, we don't want to harden our hearts. No, Lord, but we want to open ourselves, giving you the praise and the thanks from the bottom of our hearts. For you have made us your people. We worship you. You are our God. You are our Lord. You have become everything to us. We glorify your grace. Come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. Lord, whatever we do shall be for the praise of your glory, not that we are heard or seen, but that your name might be glorified, O God. Continue to speak to us tonight. Speak to us through your word, through your spirit, Lord. We expect your presence. You are not far. You are nigh in our midst. We give you the glory. Hallelujah. Praise, honor, and glory to your wonderful and glorious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. When the word of Psalms 95 was read, and they have not known my ways. This was again a sentence which must go through bone and marrow. A people pardoned by God, led out, redeemed, food and drink was given various blessings, and nevertheless, as a headline must be written, and they have not known my ways. It is not easy to recognize the ways of God, and yet it is possible with the help of the Lord, provided our heart is tuned in for it. Today, I want to read some words and I will be brief with it, with the help of God, and speak about the Ark of the Covenant and maybe about its meaning also in the New Testament. I start with a word from 1 Chronicles, chapter 13, from verse 1. And David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds, and with every leader. And David said unto all the congregation of Israel, If it seem good unto you, and that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and Levites, which are in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us. And let us bring again the Ark of our God to us. For we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. And all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. First of all, so far, this precious word of God. Here some sentences and thoughts stand out to us. Firstly, during the time of Saul, who didn't care about God and also not about that what God said or wanted, also for the Ark of the Covenant, for the Word of God, for that what God planned, there was no room for it. But then, when a man after the heart of God was called and ordained, then the first thing what was important was that God, amidst his people, comes to his right. A service is of no good if not God comes to his right, and he only comes to his right there where his word is put into the center. Human programs have no room in the kingdom of God. Just the contrary, they are just an obstacle. Even the faith which we might have must be according to the Word of God. I was surprised when today, just before the service started, our dear brother Schautz, who is a professor of the natural science, he gave me here a vessel with thousands of mustard seeds. And we read in the Word of God, if you would have faith as a mustard seed. And just earlier he brought it to me and said, look at it. For how long? For so many years I wanted to know how a mustard seed looks like, how little it is, because it is written, if you would have faith as little as a mustard seed, then you could move mountains. And if one then looks at a mustard seed and a high mountain and then compares them, where are we then with our faith? I almost thought one should take the vessel along, but also the faith in the heart. Is this not something wonderful to know? If our faith is biblical, then it can be so little, so small, then it has God's power in it, then something must move, then something must take place. for thus the Lord said it. And for me, this was a whole sermon. Here, with David, we see that he believed, and according to his faith, he acted. Faith without works is dead in itself. Firstly, he wanted that the Ark of the Covenant comes amidst the people of God. And you all know what was kept in the Ark of the Covenant. The manna in the golden cruse. Perhaps we can read it quickly in Hebrews so that all know it precisely. Hebrews chapter 9 from verse 2. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. We have spoken about this text already years ago. When we read this word, we think automatically on Matthew 25, of the example about the wise and the foolish. Some had oil in their vessels and the others not. Here is the word vessel or pot, and this in connection with the manna. Many have the spirit, but they don't have the word. And others have the word, but they don't have the spirit. Both belongs together. The word must be quickened by the Spirit of God, so that it can become the spiritual food for your and for my soul. This is the secret of this word here, that both belongs together. The rod was a sign for those who rebelled. This some of us probably don't know. Who knows it? That the rod of Aaron that was laid into the ark was a rod as a sign for those who rebelled in the days of Moses, who have not believed the divine ordinances, but who presumed that they can do something on their own in the kingdom of God. Now some may think here by themselves, Brother Frank, this you must read us from the Bible. May I know how many want that I read this from the Bible? Yes, all, 100%. Most certainly, I repeat, the rod which was laid into the Ark of the Covenant is there as a testimony against those who rebelled in the days of Moses against God. I didn't hear an amen. That's how it is really written in the Bible. When David at that time fetched the Ark of the Covenant, but I read you first a word so that you really listen to me. In Numbers, in chapter 16, we read from verse 41. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, Ye have killed the people of the Lord. And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation. And behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, Take a censer, and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun. Let us stop for a moment at this thought. Earlier on, that's how you can read it in chapter 16. It speaks of Nathan, Abraham, and some others, and of that what happened there. Here, it speaks of that the Lord commanded Moses, Get away, and then shall a judgment come. But Moses fell on his face. He didn't leave the congregation, also not in that moment when the Lord was angry. He went out with the church, he was joined with the church, he was ready to go with the church through thick and thin, and in the midst of judgment to step into the breach and to stay with the church. This was probably the second time when he didn't do precisely what the Lord told him. The first time when he smote the rock, he should smote once, and he smote twice. But here, that he should go out of the church, and he didn't do it. He fell on his face, and he showed that he wanted to live and to die with the church. These are men of God. These are servants of God. These are children of God, who in all what may take place stand firm instead of leaving. And even it would be by command, they fall on their faces and they remain and they say, Lord, here we step into the breach so that you can come to your right. But this was not all yet. It continues here in a wonderful way. To the dying was made an end. Atonement was given to the people, and the people survived. But then we read on from verse 4. And thou shalt lay them up in the tabernacle of the congregation before the testimony, where I will meet with you. You all know the context. It was about that God made a decision who should serve him. Not everybody can come and say, I am now a minister of the Lord. It were 12 tribes. And from these 12 tribes, God has chosen one. And it went via the line of Aaron and Levi. And this tribe God has chosen. But the others were not satisfied with it. And so Moses said, Let everybody take a rod, bring it here, come into the tabernacle, and then God shall make the decision. From verse 7 we read, And Moses laid up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. And it came to pass that on the morrow Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded, and brought forth buds, and bloomed blossoms, and yielded almonds. A rod with which one walked around, a rod which in one night put forth buds blossoms and almonds, ripe almonds. Then it says, and Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord unto all the children of Israel. And they looked and took every man his rod. And the Lord said unto Moses, bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony, to be kept for a token against the rebels. And thou shalt quite take away their murmurings from me, that they die not. This I didn't read from a newspaper, and also not from some commentary, from a book, or from a religious magazine. This I read here from Numbers 17, verse 10. God has made the decision. He wanted to make an end to the murmurings, and by it an end to all rebellion, so that in His church is peace and order, and so that the unity is re-established, so that the blessing of God can be manifested. From this we can only learn that we in the kingdom of God cannot just do something on our own, but can do only what the Lord tells us and what He commands us. I don't know how many of us ever read this word, but the overall context is clear to us. God has sent a prophet, has given all the ordinances, leading out the people of Israel. Mighty signs and wonders happened. Everything was put in an order. But then, when he, for instance, wanted to call the people together, it is written in Numbers 16, verse 12, and Moses sent to call Datan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, who said, we will not come. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of a land that floweth with milk and honey? Moses did according to the command and the word of the Lord. And there the inner rebellion, this stubbornness, we will not come up. With other words, who art thou? But this man did not call himself, and he didn't put himself in the ministry, but he was ordained by God in this time to see the promise of God being fulfilled in reality. But there were people who didn't recognize it. Then, of course, came the decision of the Lord. And then those who escaped the judgment of God, they should forever know that God has made the decision. Every contradiction and all stubbornness should come to an end. Therefore, the Lord commanded Moses that he should bring all the rods into the sanctuary, so that the Lord God bears witness and that He decides who shall do what. Oh, how far are we still away from the divine order? Everybody thinks to say and to do what he likes. After the motto, the thoughts are free, who can know them? But not for the kingdom of God. not in divine things. Here God's word is valid and nothing else. And whoever cannot submit to it, to him it must be said that there is a rebellion. And those who resist, they will not be able to reach God's destination. We cannot on one hand be against the divine order, and on the other hand think to have submitted to it. Then we are in contradiction and in discrepancy with ourselves and testify of a double life in us. And this may not be. We must be brought into conformity of the Word of God. For only in this way God can come to his right. Moses, the man of God, heard the words of the Lord after all what happened. He was told, "Separate yourself, go out, I am going to judge them." And Israel said, Moses could not do it. He was determined to lead out the people and after the will of God to remain in their midst until his work was done. Therefore, he fell on his face. Dear heart, precious soul, let us learn from this that we, as the children of God, as the Church of the Lord, we're determined to not only come out of Egypt, out from all the bondages, out from everything what belongs to this world, but we were also determined to enter the land of Canaan into glory. But when the time of testing comes, and men come on the scene who want to do something on their own, and by this bringing discord into the church, then we must have the courage to fall on our faces amidst the dead. I can read it to you how many died. 14,700. 14,700 died. And Moses saw them fall left and right, and he did not run away. He didn't leave. He remained where he was. He was ready to experience with his people victories and defeats, heights and lows, whatever would come. This is a divine confirmation for such a man if he stands his ground in this situation. And I wish myself this stand, and not only me, but all of us. The Lord said to Moses, "Get away, for I will execute judgment on the church." Moses did not get away. Moses falls on his face. Oh, thanks be to God. May the Lord give me, may he give us all this attitude as Moses had. He could have said, "Yes, I'm also fed up. Lord, now I'm glad that I can finally leave." Not Moses. Not a man who is joined with God and the matter of God and the people of God and to the work of God. He cannot throw in the towel. He must remain there where he is, amidst the dead. Was one who stepped into the breach, and when he fell on his face, he called out to his friend and brother Aaron, "Take the censer, put coals from the altar in it, and run to the church and bring an atonement before God for the people." One was lying on his face in prayer, and the other one did what he was told and brought an atonement for the people, and the wrath of God ceased. Beloved, the wrath of God cannot cease if the enemy strikes and all run away. No, there where we remain together and persevere, whatever may happen, there God will manifest Himself in the end, and it will be made known that His matter will not drown, but it remains until the end. There was nothing left for Moses but to do what the Lord commanded him to do. The 12 tribes, each one brought his rod, 11 remained dry as they were before, and the 12th budded and brought forth ripe almonds in one single night. That's how God can make decisions, working in a supernatural way for the intellect, totally incomprehensible. With God, all things are possible. Our Lord said at that time, God is able to raise children to Abraham from these stones. With God, nothing is impossible. Oh, that we could believe, believing as the scripture says, believing as God said, then it would be sufficient that such a mustard seed of faith would be in us, that mountains would move. But first, there must be peace in the camp. We must become one so that we can raise our voices in prayer to the throne of God. And God has brought peace. He made the decision. However, He said that this rod of Aaron, which budded and which brought forth fruit, that it should be laid into the Ark of the Covenant. And the Lord said unto Moses, bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony. There where God did the miracle, there where the divine confirmation came down, this was not in the outer court. This was there where the Ark of the Covenant was, where the Word of our God was. There the Lord revealed Himself. Because there not people have spoken, there God has spoken. And there He also answered, there He worked, and there He confirmed. And the same applies to us as the church, as the carrier of His word. Only there it can happen, where we can see the Ark of the Covenant of God, and where we can make it up as the church, namely a manifestation place of the living God, which firstly receives His word, secondly experiences that the received word is not a dead letter, but where it can become a divine living reality. That is what matters in these days. Not whether we know more, not that we know the things better, but whether God can speak to us, whether He can make us the word of the covenant, bringing us back to the point where He spoke with us, where He revealed His word to us, whether He can bring us back there. Bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony, to be kept for a token against the rebels. What was it? A token, a warning for those who rebelled. This rod should be kept in the Ark of the Covenant for a token against those who did not understand that God's word applies for them just as for all the others. There are people who know precisely as also then that God's word was in the ark. But they did not understand that this word is also binding for them, for all the others. It was binding. They could say to everybody what he may do and what he may not do. But for themselves, this word seemed not to apply. And there God has spoken justice, and let a supernatural miracle take place. And later, he let this rod be kept as a warning and token against those who rebelled. And it says literally, so that you may bring their murmurings to an end before me, that they will not die. First came the rebellion, the murmuring, and then came the dying. Beloved, things are repeating. Nothing new happens under the sun, writes Solomon. But that what was will again be. And so we see that things can repeat. And God has spoken justice then. He has made an end to all murmurings, namely overnight. With us, things take days, weeks, months, and years. Not with God. God speaks justice overnight. Overnight, suddenly, on one spot. And then the people will recognize it. Important is that we understand what is connected with it. We always want to pick out the nice part and say, in the Ark of the Covenant, the manna was kept, namely, after the 40 years, when the manna ceased to fall down from heaven like rain. It was put into this cruse and was kept as a testimony, so that all the people shall know that God let pour down from heaven the bread, the food. But this was not all. Also the rod had to be laid into it. On one hand, the faithfulness of God, which was illustrated by the manna which was kept in the cruse, and by the rod, that God has spoken justice, and that he made an end to all contradiction, and that he has spoken the last verdict, which was valid. And this rod was laid into it as a token for those who rebelled, so that to their murmurings against God might be made an end. And you know very well, not with one sentence they murmured against God, but with all sentences they murmured against Moses. And nevertheless, it was a murmuring against God, because God spoke through Moses. God worked through Moses. God has spoken with him. He sent him. He commissioned him. Many times we don't understand what the words of our Lord say. Everything what you have done to one of the least who believe on me, this you have done to me. David let the Ark of the Covenant be brought back. He wanted that God returns amongst the people of Israel, and the beginning should be made thereby that the Ark of the Covenant, the Word of God, which had no meaning in the days of Saul, because he was not a man after the heart of God, that this Word should return amongst the people of God, and so that the Lord can turn to them and could walk before them again. Here we read in verse 4 in 1 Chronicles 13, And all the congregation said that they would do so. For the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. And yet, the thing was again made in such a way as God didn't want it. The thing itself was right, only the way it was done was again not after the will of God. And we all know the story. The Ark of the Covenant should be carried upon the shoulders of the priests. And one can read the description in Exodus in chapter 25. The rings for the poles should be fixed on the sides. Here, it was not carried, but it was laid upon a new wagon. It always had to be something new. The old doesn't seem to be good enough. And everybody wants always something new, and then putting the thing on it. And then a few oxen, which shall pull the wagon. And then one thinks to have obeyed God. Let me say it today clearly, and this because of the word of the Lord. One can make the right thing in a wrong way, and then it becomes a curse instead of a blessing. The bringing of the covenant was after the will of God, but it should be carried by the priests. And here a new wagon was made, and then the oxen were put before the wagon, and then the ark was laid upon it, and suddenly the oxen stumbled, and the wagon turned over. A man wants to hold it, and he was killed on the spot. For this the word of God was not given, that people are killed by it. The word of God is given so that people are called from the spiritual death unto a life with God. But this can only happen there where the word of God is handled according to the will of God. The bringing back was right. The applause of all the congregation, of all the people, was nice. But then it should have been done in the right way. It says here, and David and all Israel danced before God with all their might. One can dance and jubilate. And nevertheless, the moment comes where the thing turns over, where the oxen stumble, and already the whole thing turns over. No dancing helps. This is no proof. No jubilating, no rejoicing, nothing. But there, where the divine order is fully respected and where the things are done according to the word of God, only there God will come to his full right. And I think we, in this last time, we have the duty to search God's word. And from that, what happened in the past and what is written in the Word of God, to learn of it and to ask ourselves, Lord, where am I spiritually placed? Did I let myself be placed into your church? Where do I stand? How do I stand before your holy presence? Here, they were dancing. They were jubilating with all their might, with singing, with harps, and with cymbals and trumpets. And what was it? When all this was going on, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the wagon, and it was too late. God wants that everything is right. We are living in the days in which all things must be restored. And to this belongs a full respect in the house and in the kingdom of God. For that, what he promised and what he also does. It is impossible to have a harmony in the kingdom of God except that we let ourselves be lined up with the word of God, responding to it with all our hearts and giving up all resistance. If we don't do that, then it can happen to us that we one day will find out all jubilation about the revelation of the word, about all the teaching, about all the speaking of God will have been of no good if it's not connected with it that the individual and all together are joined with God and with one another to thus make up the church of the living God, in which God can manifest himself here on earth. Many times we have said it, the church is not a dead memorial. It is a living organism of the body of Jesus Christ. And the Lord wants to reveal himself to all of us by his grace. He has there, into the Ark of the Covenant, to his word, he has let the cruse with the manna be put into it, but also the rod, which had to serve as a token for those who rebelled, who were not ready to respect God's decisions and thought that they can make their own thing within the kingdom of God. And this simply does not work, also not in this time. It's right, everybody can do what he likes, and this is already the case now, but with God, we will not get away with it. One day, God will put himself in our way and will make a decision and will say, thus I commanded it, that's how it is in my will, and whoever cannot submit under it, he does not let himself be placed into the plan of salvation of God. There, our pious fantasy and our pious imagination will find its terrible end. God seeks people who do not oppose, who do not rebel, but people who are ready to go with him, to submit under him, so that he can do in the church these divine things which he promised. If God could lay this tonight into our hearts, that we would say to ourselves, Lord, let us not belong to them who rebel, but to them who walk on your ways and who do according to your will. Then it will take place by his grace. May God grant this decision in your and in my heart. May it be honest and sincere. And then he will give the success to it, because God keeps what he promises. He stands to his word now and forever. Amen. Let us sing Just As I Am. Heavenly Father, Before your word, we tremble. It's not just stories for us about events which once took place. Somewhere we find ourselves again. We were described in your word. Somewhere we take our spiritual stand, whether being aware of it or not. Oh Lord, I ask you for me personally, let me recognize where I stand spiritually. Oh my God, the same I ask for every brother, for every sister, for all who have come into your kingdom and who will still come into it. Oh faithful God, what kind of spiritual dying came through all the murmurings, through all the rebellion, by all that? Faithful God, may you yourself testify, O Lord. May your people gather at the Ark of the Covenant and recognize that you did both. On one hand, you laid the manna into it. On the other hand, the rod. You revealed your righteousness and faithfulness. You have fed your people. You carried them through with long suffering. On the other hand, you showed that you speak judgment, that you make decisions, and that your word is valid in your church, and that your decisions are to be respected. O faithful God, bring firstly the fear of God back. Lord, it's no more here. My God, bring it back. It will be the beginning of the divine wisdom. Oh, we are longing for it, that you could manifest yourself. We are waiting for it. Faithful God, you brought us up to here. Lord, we ask you, may you give grace that we, like Moses, fall on our faces, Lord, to intercede for your people so that the dying has an end and that you again could look down on us in mercy. Faithful Savior, receive us. You know our hearts. You know our condition. Sometimes the willing is here and not the doing. O faithful Lord, give us both, the willing and the doing. Faithful Lord, you in this time, as in the days of Moses, you revealed unto us a prophetic word. You called your church together. You gathered your people to speak with us, to make known unto us and to reveal unto us what was still hidden. But faithful God, what has happened? Lord, you know all things. We don't have to tell you anything. We ask you for, bring the fear of God back into your church. Give it to me in the deep inside of my heart, that I respect your word in such a way as I would respect you, O Lord, that we could receive your word as you would stand before us and would speak to us, visible and audible. Oh my God, if this takes place, then you can manifest yourself and you can confirm your word, faithful Lord, in this hour in which we were reminded on this word. We bring you all the people of God. And in the spirit we fall on our faces before you, and we ask you, may our prayers come as a sweet-smelling savor before your throne of grace, and may they be answered, so that to all spiritual dying would be made an end, and so that you could reveal yourself anew amidst your people. Lord, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you, we praise you, we glorify you, and we worship you. Lord, we ask you, may also the rod serve as a warning for all those who rebel, for all those who murmur. My God, give grace that to all murmuring and to all rebellion is made an end, so that the spiritual dying stops, and so that new life from God could be manifested, and that your word would bring forth fruit for the praise and for the glory of your name. For unto your glory it shall take place, that every promise is fulfilled which you have given amidst your people. To you be the praise, honor, and glory, and worship for your precious and clear and holy word, also tonight, in Jesus' name, amen.